When I look into your holiness, and when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. And when I found the joy of reaching your heart, and when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Well, then I worship you. I worship you. Oh, the reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. For the reason I live is to worship you. Once again. Oh, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. And when I found the joy of reaching your heart, oh, and my will becomes enthroned in your love. When all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, then I worship you. Lift him up, church. Oh, I worship you. For the reason I live, oh, is to worship you. Yes, and I worship you. Oh, Lord, I worship you. For the reason I live is to worship you.
That lovely, and that's the reason we live, is just to worship him. Isn't that right? Amen. It's good to see each and every one today. Just pray that the Lord just fills your hearts with joy today. Pray that we can set aside our differences, set aside the things that are troubling us. Amen. And why don't we just focus on God for a while, and let's lift him up and praise him together. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Let's sing a song together. Fill my way with love. I pray that he fills your way with love this morning. Amen. Sing it with me.
Blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Just keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Will keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. And as I walk with the heavenly dove, will let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon the race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Well, let me sing, blessed King. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day. That's right, sing it, church. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while every day with love. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, well, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Well, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my load leads me home, with him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me hear my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me life. Satan's snares will vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead and leads where every tide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when in valley low I look, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. Well, he's guiding me, and I can't see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Last verse now. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, but then the Lord directs my bar, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace.
will let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from this creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. Has been changed. And though my sins were as scarlet, they are white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. And I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Well, I've been changed, oh yes, I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. And what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. Hallelujah. Well, at last in His presence, I stand above. He's gonna wipe every tear from my eye. Oh yes, and I thank Him for saving a wretch like me in that home beyond the sky. Sing it, church. Well, I've been changed. I've been reborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I'm in this church, oh yes, glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born, I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. Yes, Lord, sing it again now. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, oh yes, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born, I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, yes. It's by His grace, not by my work, I'm in this church. Oh, are you in this church? Oh my. You can't just join this church, friends. You got to be born into it. Hallelujah. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Now when the shadows of this life have grown, well, I'll fly away. And like a bird from prison bars have flown, well, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll
and I won't die. Hallelujah. Well, I'll fly away. See now, just a few more weary days and then, well, I'll fly away. And to a land where joy shall never end. Oh, I'll, yes, fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'm gonna fly away. And I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Well, this old world will never hold me anymore, and I'll be gone. For I made my consecration, yes, and I've got my wedding garments on. Oh, this old world will never hold me anymore, and I'll be gone. For I've made my consecration, and I've got my wedding garments on. I'll fly away, well, I'll fly away. Yes, I'll fly away. I won't die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory. My, my, my. What a day that'll be, won't it? And when we could see our Jesus face to face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song together just before we go to the Lord in prayer. Then sings my soul. My, don't you feel good this morning? Amen. Let's sing this together. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Come on, just lift him up, church. Worship him now. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Sing it again now. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art, how great you are, Lord. Oh, and then sing my soul, Lord. Oh, how great thou art. Yes, how great thou art. First verse, listen now. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, well, I see those stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power
throughout the universe displayed.
Come on, lift it up, church.
And then sing, my soul yes, my Savior God to thee. And how great thou art, oh how great you are. Then sings my soul, yes, Lord, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Do you love him? Why don't you give him a hand of praise again? He's so good to us, church. Hallelujah. Musicians, why don't you continue playing that? Amen. We're going to take these special needs to the Lord. Brother Mark Sylvester, if you'd be ready to take these for us, brother. We just want to remember Brother Jonathan Mill this morning. He was not able to attend service, having to work. I'm sure his heart's desire would be to be in this atmosphere. Amen. So we're praying for him. If you'll remember the Clayville family, Brother Johnny, Doris, Julia, and Isaac and Annabelle, they're traveling still, and we want to keep them in prayer. And the Lord would grant them traveling mercies, bring them safely home. Amen. Want to remember Sister Frida Drum in prayer. Always miss them when they're not here. They've been able to attend service recently. It's just been so good to see them. And Sister Frida is dealing with some chronic migraine headaches. And if you'll just remember in prayer, God would touch her body. Amen. Special prayer request from Sister Cindy to remember her sister, Kathy, in prayer. So we're going to be praying for her. Keep Sister Tina in your prayers from Brother Ron Knobloch. If you'd remember her as well. And if you remember Sister Ashley, in your prayers as well, special need there. That's all I have spoken. Do you have unspoken prayer requests? Well, uplifted hands. Amen. Let's pray together. Brother Mark.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it's good to be in your house this morning, Lord. It's surely a blessing already, Father, singing the songs of praise to you, Lord. You feel the presence of the Lord. It's like a refreshing, Lord, drink of water, Lord Jesus. And even more than that, Lord, it's just what we can use, Lord, to express ourselves, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies to us. We thank you for what you did on Calvary, Lord. We just want to let you know with grateful hearts, Lord. We want to say, Lord, we love you. Maybe we don't say that enough, Lord, but we do love you, Lord, because we love your word. We love your presence. We love your spirit. And everything about you is perfect and just and good, Lord. And we enjoy that, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, in the scripture, it talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord Jesus, we can have a taste of that, Lord, here on earth, Father. And we know what it's like, Lord, and we come again and again, Lord, wanting more and more. We seem just can't have enough of you, Lord. So we pray this morning that you pour yourself out, Lord Jesus, and each heart, Lord. And I pray you will increase our faith, Lord, by the hearing of your word. And Lord Jesus, every time we get together, there's many requests, Lord. Brother Jonathan Mail and the Reynolds, Lord, and Sister Frida Drum, Sister Ashley, Sister Tina, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll answer each one of these requests, Lord, we pray. And plus every uplifted hand, what's on each heart, we pray you'll grant each need. Lord, I'm remembered in your word, Lord. You asked the question several times. You said, is anything too hard for God? You asked that to Abraham, Lord, and you asked that to your disciples. And Lord, certainly the answer is no, there's nothing too hard for you. Whether it be easy to us or seem hard to us, Lord, there's nothing, Lord, hard for you, Lord. It's all the same. And we bring these requests, Lord, some desperate ones, Lord, asking that you will move. And Lord, grant each, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will be with the preacher this morning, Lord. We come in expectation, Lord, to hear your word, to be helped, Lord, in whatever way you may have. Maybe it come in the form of a rebuke, or maybe encouragement, or some other way, Lord. I pray you will send it, Lord, that it'll do us good. Your word always does us good, Lord, and we thank you for that. We commit the rest of the service into your hands, and we give thee all glory and praise, for only you, Lord, are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. You may have your seat. Hope I didn't hold you too long standing there. And we've got a few specials this morning. Got the Cogman family, Brother John and his daughters. They'd like to be making ready. Had a tentative from Brother Billy Ivy. Would you have one this morning? Okay, we'll put a rain check on that one. Always look forward to hearing from Brother Billy Ivy's singing there. And we're also just delighted to have Brother Johnny and Sister Linda Green with us today. So we welcome you to the service, and we're just delighted to have you. And it's good to have Sister Risa and Sister Grace with us as well. So God bless y'all. Hope you're enjoying the service. Amen.
Amen. This was a request this morning. This is a song that my family has played many years by our friend Arthur Smith. It's called Acres of Diamonds. And I'm going to let the girls play this with us.
Acres of diamonds and mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All these by you or me, peace when you're sleeping, or conscience that's free, a heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. Thank you.
A rich man asked Jesus, what more can I do? For all the commandments I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus loved him, and he gave this decree: set your treasure in heaven, and come follow me.
A heart that's contented, satisfied mind, these are the
of diamonds. Couldn't buy your way into heaven. Amen. Why don't we stand this morning? Thank you, Cochran. Family, that was a beautiful song. Deacons would come forward, and we'll take our morning offering up just before we go to the Word. I'd like to sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Musicians, if you could key that up. Amen. Brother Tom, you can lead us in prayer, sir.
Gracious Lord, with our heads and hearts bowed, Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we pray now that you'll bless the tithes and offering. Open our hearts to the Word. We ask in your precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this as our pastor makes ready. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Now, oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up.
can make me whole and fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, O Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. Good to have all of you here. And how many of you are glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Now, in that same spirit, let's go to him in prayer. And I want to just share a couple of other prayer requests I want to add to what I've already given to Jaron. I spoke this morning with Sister Karen Buchanan. She has her pacemaker placed, and like most pacemaker recipients, feels great. And she's doing much better. So she appreciates the prayers of the congregation. Also, as well, Brother and Sister Smith. Brother Smith faithfully writes to me every single Sunday morning and gives me an update on things. And Sister Smith may possibly go into a temporary rehab situation to get strength and mobility back again. So we want to remember her. Also, as well, we're having a special request for Brother Yashua's family, and they are over in Pakistan, and there is really serious increasing tension between India and Pakistan at the moment because there was a terrible killing that took place over there in the Kashmir. Kashmir is a disputed, has been disputed for centuries, between India and Pakistan. And just a couple of days ago, Pakistan test-fired a missile, and things are escalating in that area. Brother Anwar's family and lots of believers, Brother Yashua's family, are also all in that area in Lahore, which is right next to the Kashmir on the Pakistani side. And so we want to hold them up in prayer. It's got to be a kind of an intimidating position for those believers to be in. So we sure want to hold them up in prayer this morning. How many of you have a request this morning as well that you'd like to be remembered for? And let's play that again, Sister Becky, if you will. Fill my cup, and let's just go to him this morning and bring your petitions before him. And as we look to him this morning, let's believe that he hears us. Let's believe with all of our hearts that he hears us. And he understands the need even better than you're able to articulate it this morning. One more time. Fill my cup, I lift it up. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, with humility this morning, praying in the name of Jesus Christ that you would minister, Lord, to every heart, every request, Lord, that's been mentioned this morning. We know you to be a prayer-answering God and one who's able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And whatever we've gone through, Lord, we know that you know likewise how it feels. And Lord, the emotions and the sensations that we have and the concerns that we have. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that Lord, as we bind all of these requests together, that Lord, you will just speak to hearts today. Bring comfort where it's needed. Lord, lay your hand upon those that need a healing touch. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that your power, Lord, would just flow from vessel to vessel. Your mercies, Lord, to be extended from person to person here today. And that, Lord, you might have free course among us. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. And as we approach this part of the service, we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of anything that might be grievous to you or hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit today. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your many blessings and your provisions for us. You're still Jehovah Jireh, and we can testify of that every single day that we live. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Speak to hearts in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. Musicians, we'll let you take your places and take a minute there to get your spot, and we'll bring up our... office, because I usually deal with so much medicines and things like that. Just in order to make myself sound good. It's just that this thing kind of lingers on here. But I'm thankful for feeling better. Now, we have a special prayer request that we're going to bring to you tonight, today, at the end of the service, okay, for Wells. So we haven't forgot that. We're going to bring that at the end of the service today because I want us to pray together over that. May 6th is Billy Ivey's birthday, wherever Brother Billy is. He's not, is he here? Here he is, Brother Billy. God bless you. May 8th is Sister Carrie Whitlock's birthday, Jackie Sylvester's birthday, and Paloma's birthday, right? On May 8th. God bless you all. We appreciate you all very much. May 9th is Mitchell Buchanan's birthday. Mitchell here today? And also May 10th is Angela Pritchard's birthday. We appreciate you, Sister Angela, very much. And may God bless you and give you a wonderful day. we are grateful to have and honored to have the Greens here today. God bless you. Great to have you. And go way back. I mean, Sister Becky reminded me that you guys go way back.
Thank you.
You were speaking at her father's church when she was 16 years old and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a special thing. And we're just honored to have you with us today. And may God bless you. Good to have the Browns here from Tennessee as well. And we're moving into our graduation season. We've got a fistful of graduates this year, and we're excited about that. So we're going to be pulling together some information about doing a graduation afternoon in a couple of weeks, and so we appreciate all of our graduates. Also, today, we're going to be baptizing, Lord willing, two people as well again today, and we're excited about that. And God's still moving in the hearts of our young people, and that was my prayer several months ago, and just thankful for that. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism as well. So if you feel that on your heart, this is certainly a great time for you to jump in the water when the angel's moving. That's the time to do it. And so we appreciate God's goodness in dealing with young hearts. Now, I wanted to just preamble this morning and say that this has just been really personal and really deep on my heart. And I want to continue a little bit from last Sunday, but I also want to continue a little bit from Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, I did not have all of the slides. And I'm not sure why, but I missed out on the slide. And we want to remember Lily Godwin. And Lily has been having a difficult time in recovery after her tonsillectomy and adenoids removed and so forth. She's still not eating and still not swallowing and a little bit afraid to do that. And that's not unusual. That happens. But the Godwin sent me a picture of her prior to going into surgery. And that's what I wanted to show you on Wednesday night. And I never got to show you that picture. So I thought I'd show you the picture today. And everybody said... And I couldn't resist sending this picture and showing this one today. But if you don't mind remembering her in prayer, she's just having a tough time in that recovery phase, and we just pray that the Lord will undertake for her. All right, let's stand to our feet this morning, and I want to take two texts, so I'm going to give you a little moment here to find those two places in the Bible. We're going to read from Ezra, and if you can read, you're welcome to read this one on the screen here, but I want you to go to the book of Haggai and open that one for me. Now, some of you Bible scholars know exactly where it is, but I will give you a hint. It is the third last book in the Old Testament. Third last book in the Old Testament. It's sandwiched right between Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's only two chapters long, but it's a powerful little book. I want to title this morning, Go Ye Up Your Mountain. And this is a little statement that comes from the book of Haggai. But let's begin with Ezra, first of all, chapter 6 and verse 14. Is everybody ready? Ready for the word? I've waited all week for this moment here. And that's the honest truth. This has just been turning over on my heart, and I want you to, if you will, just lock in with me, okay? We're not going to be long. As a matter of fact, I only have five or six slides that I'm going to show you that are new. Most of what I'm going to show you is a couple of recaps from Wednesday night because I didn't have all my slides. So I'm going to rip through those quickly and bring everybody up to speed, and then, Lord willing, we'll proceed on. But I want you just, if you will, just lock on just ask the Lord to make this personal and real to you, because there's a great lesson here found in the book of Haggai. Now, in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "And the elders of the Jews build it." This is the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple after the Babylonian captivity. Okay? "And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo." They prospered through the prophesying of these two prophets. "And they built it and finished it according to the commandments of God, of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of these three kings, Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia." God actually moved on the hearts of those three kings to allow Israel to return, to rebuild, restore, reset things again. It's amazing that God did that and had three consecutive kings that allowed them to do that and to bring things back to the original design that God intended. So they're restoring. They're bringing it back to where it's supposed to be, okay? And this is what's taking place. But the thing I want to draw your attention to is that the people prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. Well, what did Haggai say? What did he say that prospered the people so much? When they heard what he said and believed it, what did he say? In the book of Haggai, we find one phrase here, and this is the book that I need you to have open here for us. He said, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." Yes. Go up on the mountain, bring back some wood, let's build a house. And may the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Now, there are many times when we can get our focus off the big thing, the main things. We as human beings, we can easily become distracted with details, little things. And we worry sometimes a lot. We become anxious about little things that are really unimportant compared to the bigger picture. The bigger picture, the eternal eternal life that we all possess, and the relationship that we have with God. Those are big things. Those are things that we need to get right. Those are things that are important. Those are things that are going to last well beyond this life. So think about it this way. The things that we occupy ourselves with in this life are temporal, and the things beyond this life are eternal. We want to make sure we sow to the eternal part, right? And we want to focus on making sure that that's right, that's good, that's solid, and we don't want to miss the big picture. Now, we can sometimes fixate on the little things that we actually do miss some of the benefits that God has for us in the bigger picture. I'm reminded of a little story that was told one time about a man who was a security guard, and he checked everybody out of the factory at the end of every day. And one day he saw this guy come out in his wheelbarrow, and inside the wheelbarrow he had some straw. And the guard looked inside the wheelbarrow and he said, "What do you got in the wheelbarrow?" And he said, "Some straw." He said, "What else you got?" He said, "I got a box. Let me see." So the man pulls aside the straw, and there's a little box inside the wheelbarrow. And he says, "Open it up." And the guy lifts the lid off, and it's just sawdust inside the box. Guard says, "That's all you got?" "Yeah," he says, "That's all I got, just sawdust. Feel it." So he feels inside the box. So he says, "Okay, off you go." Next day he comes back. Here's the same man with a wheelbarrow, got straw in it. Guard says to him, "What do you got here?" He says, "I got some straw." "What else you got?" "I got a box." "What's in the box?" "Sawdust. Check it." So he does. The guard checks it. Next day, third day, same thing. Fourth day, same thing. Fifth day, same thing. And he looks inside the box, and there's nothing inside the little box, and nothing inside of it but sawdust. And the guard says to the man, "I don't trust you. I know you're stealing something." He said, "If you don't mind," he said, "tell me what you're stealing, and I won't report it. I just want to know what you're stealing, because you're up to something. What are you taking?" The guy looked at him, he said, "Wheelbarrows." We can get so fixated on the little things that we miss the bigger picture. We need to be sure that we stay in tune with the bigger things that God has for us. Now, on Wednesday night, I talked a little bit about the subject of getting your life in order, get your priorities straight. Priorities are a very powerful thing. Yeah. I've been learning ever since I preached this that priorities are a very powerful and important thing. And God wants you to have the right priorities in place. He wants you to make sure that you have your ducks in a row, your natural ducks and your spiritual ducks. He wants you to make sure you have it all in proper alignment. All right. And he wants you to make sure you put the important things first, and they're on the top of the pile, and then work your way down through. All of us have priorities, and all of us have things, in a pecking order in our lives. All of us do, because that's our nature. And Brother Branham he commented on this subject several times, and I just want to share just a little bit with you. And I talked about this on Wednesday night. And Brother Branham said, "Now, Christians, I may never see you again." He said, "See, it's been years since I've been here. I may never see you again. But what I want you to do," he says, "make sure you line up with God's word. Line up with God's word. And whatever you do and whatever priorities you establish, make sure everything is lined up with God's word. That's what's important. You don't want to line up with the cosmos. You don't want to line up with the world around us here. You don't want to line up with priorities that other people in the world will give you, but you want to line up with God's word. And look in the mirror, assess yourself, and adjust. You're when it comes to priorities, they're never once set and that's it. We're constantly reasserting our priorities. We're constantly readjusting and making sure everything's in line. That's a good thing for us to do. Because we're bombarded by activity and busyness and all kinds of things that are imposed upon us. And sometimes you need to go back and reaffirm your priorities again. Okay? So what Brother Bram's admonition is, he said, just make sure that you line up with God's word. Here's a priority. We want to lay not up for ourselves treasures upon earth, but we want to lay up treasures in heaven. So that's a priority. We want to make spiritual investments our first priority. Now, you have to have natural investments on this earth, right? You have to have a little set aside, for instance, for retirement in case we actually get there. If we don't get there and you got something laid up for retirement, they can have it.
Amen.
Right? But we want to make sure we don't let that become the priority in the natural investments and forget what we should be laying up in the spiritual side,
Amen.
Right? Because that's the thing that Jesus tells us to do first. Now, here's Brother Branham again, and he talks about blind Bartimaeus, and he said he was a provider for his family, and he thought of his family first before himself. Any true dad will do that, any real husband. And here's where he says any Christian will think of others before himself. And every Christian tries to put God first, that's their first priority, then family second, then he's number three. Say it after me. God first, family second, I'm number three. And he said, I've tried to make that a practice in my own life. So that's a great example of somebody who's establishing the right priorities, right? That's the right priority in life. That's kind of the right pecking order that you should have in your life. It's not all about you. It's about God first. And if we fail to do that, we've really missed the most important thing, right? Here's another priority. And I love this one, and it's clearly stated, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So in our house, God comes first. And his word is held sacred. His word is held up as a standard in our house. That's an absolute in our house. And the things that it says, remember now last Sunday morning, it's no good for you to read it and hear it. You've got to be a doer of it as well. In the doing of it is the blessing. In the doing of it are the resources that God has for us. Right? Remember that now. And I mentioned to you that priority determines capacity. When we make our priorities right, God gives us the capacity to be able to endure lots of things. He gives us the capacity to be able to do many things. So when we establish the right priorities, God enables us to do more than when our priorities are not right. Now, this is the priority that we talked about last Sunday morning more than any other, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, the adding doesn't come until you do the first thing. But when we do the first thing, the adding comes, and God's able to add. I will tell you this, that when you seek God first, God's able to do for you a lot better than what you're able to do for yourself. Do you believe that? God's able to, hey, if you got a problem, you got a situation that you got to deal with, I will tell you this, I'll guarantee you this, that God's able to fix that problem way better than you're able to fix it. And the sooner you get that through your mind, your head there, you'll be better off. Your job is to make sure we seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and then we can go on from there and watch God empower us and give us the resources that we need in order to solve the problems or to deal with what we need to deal with. And we'll always have those things, right? Now, again, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on Wednesday night, but I meant to. And I want you to pay attention now to the next two screens here. The reason that we can't see television pictures, our bodies are not set as instruments to pick up the mechanical scent things. So there are, like there was in the Garden of Eden, there have always been signals going through here, waves going through here, microwaves, television waves, radio waves, all of that going through here, but they don't affect us. Thank God they don't affect us.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't have a radio station playing in your ear? At least I hope you don't. During service here. I mean, what a distraction that would be if you could pick up every wave, every signal that was out there. But you don't have it. You would have to have something inserted inside you or an earphone or something in order to pick up what's around us. It is around us, for sure. It is around us, but you're not able to pick it up. So you're absolutely ignorant to what it is that's on television this morning because even though the waves surround us, they don't affect us because we don't have what we need to pick up the mechanically sent thing. Now, he takes that principle and he applies it here. But when our body becomes in tune with God becoming a part of him, so when a young person or a person is born again and they become in tune with God, all of a sudden that are sensitized to spiritual things. He says, when we become in tune with him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's good. That's a positive thing. God configured it so that you don't pick up the natural things. But if you have a receiving set, if you have a radio here, you could pick it up. You need to have that extra thing. He's saying to us in the spiritual realm that God is actually present as well, but you're not going to appreciate that. You're not going to recognize that unless God puts something extra in you that receives or picks up the voice of God, the presence of God in your own body. You'd never be able to recognize the presence of God. You could be right around it and it wouldn't affect you at all. But he says, when we become in tune with him by becoming born again, he says, and there's something on the inside that picks up the moving of the Holy Spirit and you recognize the presence of God. You know what? When you can recognize the presence of God, fear goes away, doesn't it? If you're anxious about things, if you're overly anxious about things, I will tell you this, that you are putting your faith in a inferior reality. Amen. When you worry about things, you're putting your faith in something that is inferior to what is really true. And what is really true is that the presence of God, which is not far from you, the presence of God is more powerful and more capable of helping you be victorious over whatever it is you're worrying about than the thing you're actually dwelling on. Amen. You're putting your faith in a lower realm. Amen. Now, all of us do that. All of us are subject to that. But I will tell you this, that what we want to do is make sure that we don't lose track or lose consciousness of the presence of God and the ability of God to help you through whatever you're going through. And when we become overwhelmed by fear, we lose the consciousness of his presence and his protection. And we often live below the realities that are promised by God. And it's a shame that we do that. We all do that, but it's a shame that we do that. What a shame it is if somebody guaranteed you that you were going to receive a $1 million check tomorrow in the mail. And instead, somebody, that same person sent you $100,000 and you took that and you went to the bank and said, all right, that's good enough. What a shame, because you would be leaving something on the table. Right? You'd be shortchanging yourself. Well, I believe that we serve a God who is all powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's got all power. He's a provider. He's a savior. Come on, he's one who's able to calm the raging seas. He's able to create wind. He's able to blow wind away. He's able to do supernatural things. He's able to make something out of nothing. Our God is all powerful, right? He's the creator of heavens and the earth. Everything exists for him and by him. And what a shame it is that we believe in a lower reality or a lower truth when we worry about things, rather than putting our faith and allowing our faith to rise and be able to recognize the presence of God. Now, that's what God put in us. Now, he said he lives among us today and he wants fellowship. He's desiring to have fellowship again. Now, let's take an example of this. The message is the arrow of God's deliverance, 1956. Why, brother, if we'd ever come in the presence of God like Moses did, it was a revolution to him. It was revolutionary to him. When Moses got in the presence of the burning bush, everything changed. Right? I mean, nothing was the same ever again in his life when he got in the presence of the burning bush. In the light of that angel, God standing on that mountain that day, everything he once thought that would never happen came to be a reality. Somebody ought to say amen. When Moses came in contact with that, he said everything that he once thought would never happen. Isn't it true that, we saw in Brother Branham, we were spoiled by Brother Branham and the kind of success that he had in ministry and the way he prayed and the way he maneuvered through difficult situations. And it seemed like God was always there and God did this and God did that and something else. We're spoiled by looking at that. But there are times when something happens in your family or something happens in your body and you're thinking, well, I don't know if it can happen. I don't know if that's possible. I'll tell you what, you're thinking that will never happen to me. You get in the presence of God one time, just like Moses did, and a revolution can take place today, the same as it did in Brother Branham's life. Now, I don't believe that we'll have the ministry that Brother Branham had, but I believe we serve the same God that Brother Branham served, and I believe he's still a healer, and he's still a deliverer, and he's still a savior, and he's still one that's able to pour oil upon the troubled waters. He's able to take away the issues that plague us. I believe that God's still able to do that. And Moses' problem was that he thought, you know what, this will never happen to me. This will never happen in my lifetime or whatever else. It'll never come to a reality. But when he met the burning bush, God turned that around. And I think if men and women today, would ever step into the light of that, of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of God's Spirit and the light of God's Word, I believe if men and women today would step into that, everything, that God has promised will illuminate to you and be real again. God does not want the promises that he made to be just still on print. He doesn't want the promises just to remain here. And I will tell you this, I don't believe that God meant for the message just to remain in books. If it remains in books, we've missed the point. I believe it's got to go from books to hearts. I believe it's got to go to books to a life, and it's got to be translated and become real. And that's exactly what Brother Bram's teaching us right here. If men and women can get in that presence, you watch what God will do. He'll bring to pass. He'll bring to light. He'll bring to fruition everything that God has promised for us. Amen. All right. it's all basic stuff. But let's look now at an example here. In Exodus chapter 14, we're still talking about Moses for a minute here. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know where he is? He's on the brink of the Red Sea. He's got Pharaoh behind him, mountains on two sides, an ocean, a sea in front of him. Right? That's the scenario. Everybody following? And Moses is standing there and he says, "God, you sent me. You led me to lead the people out of Egypt. And here we are. Now we're hemmed in and it looks kind of hopeless here." And he's appealing to God. He's standing there with God on the rock. And God says to him, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Watch what happens now today. At the end of the day, you watch what this scene is going to be like. "And the Lord shall fight for you." This is God saying this to Moses now, lip to ear. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." That's what he tells Moses. God's going to fight for you. He said, I'm right here to fight for you. My presence is with you. And he says, what you're looking at today is going to change. It's going to change drastically. The Lord's going to fight for you. Now, you would think, if you just read that verse and stopped there, read that chapter and stopped there, you would think, okay, hey, listen, let me get my chair and let me sit down and take a front row seat, get my big gulper. I want to see what God's going to do. Let's see God go to work. I mean, that's kind of the feeling you get from the verses if you stop there. But the ironic thing is that in verse 15 it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Amen. God says, "I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to take care of this enemy here." But then he looks at Moses and he says, why do you cry unto me?" Right. And this is where Brother Branham got the sermon, "Why cry? Speak. Why do you cry unto me?" And he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground before the midst of the sea." What I'm telling you is that when we establish the right priority and when we position ourselves in the right place, and Moses had to take that rod and hold it up, God was still going to bring to pass the promise that he made back here in verse 14, that the Lord will fight for you, and I'm going to change this picture drastically, but you're going to do the thing first. You're going to hold up this rod, and you're going to say, in faith, you're going to say, "Hey, let the waters open here, and let the children of Israel pass through." And when Moses established that, and when Moses said that, God took all of his resources, and he poured into that event what Moses could not do. Moses did not defeat the Egyptians, right? Moses did not drown them all. Moses did not part the Red Sea. Moses didn't do any of that. But first, he had to hold up that rod. And God said, don't just stand there and cry out to me. Hold up your rod. Do the thing that I called you to do. Be that deliverer. Be that prophet. Be that leader. Hold up that rod and say, let the Lord move on the scene and open up the waters here and let the children of Israel go through on dry ground. And that's what he did. And when God saw that, God unleashes all of the resources that he has to completely destroy the enemies of the children of Israel. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded of another verse here that's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Watch what it says, all right? Stay with me. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. This is a promise of restoration that God says, you're going to be scattered, but I'm going to bring you back again. Watch what he says. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou? Yeah. That thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die. Amen. And of the son of man which shall be made as grass. And forgettest the Lord thy maker that hast stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Who are you? Who are you to doubt my provision for you? Who are you to be? Why are you afraid that I'm not going to move on your behalf? Who are you to think that all of a sudden God's power is somehow short-circuited here because of your actions here? He says, I'm the one that stretched forth the heavens. I'm the one that laid the foundation of the earth. I'm the one that controls the winds and the seas. I'm the one that has the cattle. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I own the silver and I own the gold. Who are you to conclude that God's not going to care for you? He says, you are the redeemed of the Lord and you shall return. And he says, you are the apple of my eye. You're the people of my inheritance and my heritage and so forth. And you're the people that I long to deliver. And who are you to be sitting there thinking that God's not going to do it? And I'd say this to you this morning. Who are you to be sitting there and say, well, God can't do that for me? Where'd you get that idea? You should banish that idea, because the same God that did things in the Old Testament, the same God that did things for the early church, and the same God that did things for people in Brother Bram's meetings, that's the same God we serve today. And who are you to say that God can't do that today? Who are you to say that God can't heal cancer today? And God can't bring deliverance, and God can't save your children, and God can't, repair a marriage? Who are you to be saying that when God says, I've demonstrated my power and my ability so often, so many times, in so many ways, in so many places on the earth? Who are you to say it won't happen to you? God says, don't say that. Don't have that language here. Amen. Take my word. Take my promise. Believe it. And you get you, the thing. The only thing I'm asking you to do is to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Who are you to say that I'll never get myself a wife? I'll never find myself a husband. Who are you to say that? I'm the one that raised up you on the earth. And I raised up your future husband or your future wife. I know exactly where they are. Who are you to say it won't happen? You're not the one that controls the future. You're not the one that knows the end from the beginning. You're not the Alpha and the Omega. You're not the one with all the power. You're not the one with all the ability here. Who are you to sit there in your doubt and say, it will not happen? I'm here to tell you, God is saying, I'm here to tell you through the prophet, that if you believe what I prophesy, you'll prosper. You'll be blessed when you believe the prophecies of the prophets. You'll be better off when you believe the things that God says through those prophets here. Just like the people were in the book of Ezra chapter 6 there, when they believed the prophesying of Haggai and the prophesying of Zechariah. You'll be better off. You'll be prospered when you believe that. Don't doubt that. Don't mistrust that. Don't just throw it all aside and say, well, God did it back here in Brother Bram's day, but I don't think he can do it now for my family. I say that God can and God will. What we need to do is not to perform that. We need to get our priorities right and seek first the kingdom of God. Who are you to say, Moses, that I can't deliver you from Egypt? Who are you to say that I can't give you a supernatural way of escape? Who are you to say that, we're going to be swallowed up here by the Egyptians or the sea, one or the other? We have no choice. Who are you to say that? I've got a plan. I know the future. I know how to do this. I put that sea there. I know how to open it up. And I know how to get Israel on the other side. And I know that Pharaoh's days are numbered. So don't tell me what I can and cannot do. And I'm saying to you this morning, don't you sit there and say what God can or cannot do. I say this, that we need to make sure that we just say, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are we all right? I'm still preambling. But we still have a question. What did Haggai say? The people prospered when they believed what he said. What did he say? Let's go to the book of Haggai. Now this is where you need, it's not going to be on the board. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Third last book. If you don't have a Bible, look on your neighbor. Don't get too close. Look on with your neighbor. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, this people say, Haggai speaking to the people now who are the restored remnant. They're not in Babylon, they're back. You remember, you know the story of the Babylonian exile, right? The people are disobedient. They've messed up the Sabbath. There's other issues that they've been disobedient about, and they're indifferent. God sends them off into exile. They're there 70 years and they drift back. All of them don't even come back, but the ones that come back are coming back to restore what they used to have. They're coming back to restore the temple. They're coming back to restore the city. They're coming back to restore the walls of the city because that's their protection. And they're coming back with that mandate to do that. So they went from disobedience to bondage and now complacency. Hard to believe that they could do it in a lifetime, but this is what's happening and this is where we are. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying that this people say, Haggai says, I know what you're saying. The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. This is what the people are saying. And then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the house of God, lie waste. A sealed house, the word sealed is the word that we would rather say paneled. A paneled house, meaning a fancy, nice house. And he says, is it time for you to say, O ye, to dwell in your paneled houses, and in the house of God lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. For you have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. You're not satisfied. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Can anybody say amen on that verse, especially the last part? Do you ever find yourself working hard, working overtime, doing everything you possibly can, and that seems like somebody put your money in a bag with holes? Sure does. Now, in other words, Haggai is saying, God sees you providing for yourself. Your priority is not the house of God. We established that in verse 2. Because you people are saying, well, it's not a time we need to deal with that. We don't need to do the restoration work here. But you're providing for yourselves first. You're looking after yourselves first here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. And build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Your priorities are wrong because your priorities are first on you, not what you're sent back to do. Follow me now. The problem here is a priority problem. And these are people who are sent in, they were sent into exile because they missed the point. They were sent into exile because they were disobedient. They didn't put God's Sabbath first. And so God had enough of it, and God sent them off as a punishment or a judgment off into Babylon, and then allows them to come back. And when they come back, it's not long before they start to say, well, you know what? I'm going to build my house. The house, the work of the Lord can come later. Because you know what? God, if it falls down, God's able to restore it again later on. It'll always be there. The house will always be there. I'm gonna look after myself first. I'm going to put my priority on myself first. And Haggai is simply saying to them, consider your ways. You want to think about this now, okay? This is what he says. You want to think about this now, because he says, what you would do to please me is to go up on the mountain, cut down some trees, bring the wood back, and let's get back building the temple, because that's why I freed you from Babylon to come back to do. Amen. Let's get that done first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Are we okay? Verse 9, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew on it. Wow. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. And therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. You know why you feel like you're working for money that's put in a bag with holes? And you bring home the harvest and I blow on it. Poof! It's all gone. What happened to that surplus that we had? It's all gone. And God says, you drink, you're not satisfied. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. And all of these things he says you're doing, but you don't realize that I'm watching over all of that. Yeah. It's not wrong for you to sow your fields. It's not wrong for you to have clothes. It's not wrong for you to, want to have a job and bring home money for your family. But I want to say this to you and I this morning. We were put on earth for more than just to have a job and bring home money. You're put on earth for more than just to, you know, go to church one Sunday morning and then, you know, go on and live your life and play sports and, you know, we're into all kinds of activities and all kinds of other things. Hey, you know what? We can fall into the trap, and this is what I started to talk about last Sunday. We can fall into the trap of becoming so complacent about this message, because you know what? It'll always be around. We get to thinking, oh, it'll always be around. We've had the message now since 1947 when Brother Branham started preaching. We'll always have the message. It'll always be there. And we can be, listen, we can become complacent about it, and we can put other things in front of it if we're not careful. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God doesn't really like that. And so that's why when Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, as a priority, you seek first the kingdom of God, and you prayed it, I'll have enough voice here, because I will tell you that's not the Holy Spirit taking away my voice. And Jesus established this principle and said, seek first the kingdom of God. He was not just picking that out of the air, but I believe he was drawing from lessons like this given to Haggai, the prophet, back here. Because I want you to watch what else he says now, what he goes on and says. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Hosedech, and the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed. They got it. The people and the elders, they got it. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. And then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you. Now, if I was sitting in your seat and I had a pen in my hand, I would write down that little phrase, that little construction. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke in the Lord's message unto the people. Why is that significant? I happen to believe that when a prophet of God speaks what God says to him, that's a message from God. And when I come along and speak that same message, I still happen to believe that that's God speaking to all of us. Now, you may not, but I do. And so Haggai is speaking in the message. He's speaking in the message that God gave him. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord, their God. And God did that. God stirred up their hearts. Oh, I pray that God would stir someone's heart here this morning. And I mean this very sincerely, that God will get a hold of somebody here and stir their hearts and realize we can easily, and not maliciously, but we can easily fall into the trap of saying, oh, we'll let Brother Barry look after the house of the Lord. We'll let Brother Barry study the message. We'll let the preachers labor before God. We'll let the preachers pray. We'll let the musicians sing. We'll let the deacons deke. We'll let everybody else do their thing. I'm going to go and do my thing. And God was saying to all of the congregation of the people, including the leaders, but all the way down, He was saying to them, you get on your two little pins here and get up in your mountain and cut down some wood and do what you're called to do. Because you're called to be more than an accountant, a number cruncher. You're called to be more than that. And you know what you need to do? You need to be asking God, where is my mountain? Point me to my mountain and I'll go get the wood. And when I get the wood and do what I'm called to do, you know what God's going to do? God's going to bless that man. You're called to be more, to do more than just drive around in a fancy car. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Should I go on or can I have a little fun with this? You know, to drive up on every parking lot in North Carolina and say, I'm here. I'm here. And every girl in North Carolina looks, he must be wealthy, debonair, suave, charismatic, independently wealthy, and strikingly handsome. Wow. For a young guy to have that. Wow. Sorry. Should I not have done that? Anyway, you're called for more than just to drive a fancy car. Amen. You're called for more than just to be a scholar or a truck driver. You're called to reflect the glory of God. Yes. You're called to reflect the life of Christ in this message. Amen. To a dying world that needs to hear from Christ. Amen. You're called to be more than a mechanic. You're called to be more than a student. God's got a plan for you. God's got a design for you in your life. And God's wanting you, you know what? He doesn't want you to know it all, to fulfill it all. He doesn't want you to, have all kinds of supernatural power. God is, you know what he wants you to do? Get up on your mountain and cut down a tree, drag the tree back. Watch what God does with that. Amen. You musicians are called for more than just to, play music out somewhere and entertain the world. I believe that God gave you a certain role, a certain position. And I believe that, you know, it's easy to get distracted and it's easy to do other things with that. But primarily, you need to get up in your mountain and you need to cut down that tree and come back and do it for the glory of God and watch what God does with that. Because when you put the priority right, all these things shall be added unto you. Can I go a shade further?
chapter 2 and verse 1. There's only two chapters. I'm not going to read them all. But it's amazing because now listen, when they heard this and obeyed, they were blessed. So I'm just, you know, reminding you of that. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai again, saying, so this is next Saturday at church here, and here they are. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and so forth, and the residue of the people. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How many of you are here or older than 70 years old that saw the first temple, Solomon's temple here? And how do you see it now? How do you see the glory days and the times when God, you know, raised up Solomon's house and dedicated it? And you remember, you old folks, you remember, and God filled it and God blessed it. And it was such a glorious thing. People from all over the world were coming to see Solomon's house. What an extraordinary thing. What a beautiful thing it was. And this was made based on the inspiration of God. It was made supernaturally and all the other components that went into that. And he says, how many of you are around that saw the first house in all of its glory? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing? Look around. Look around at this old broken down temple that we're in today. That's what he's saying to them because they're there to restore. And he's saying, look around. Compared to that day, Solomon's day, look at this place here. He says, it's just a broken down heap of stones. Yet, verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. And work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is it a little while, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come. That's Christ. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts, because the silver is mine. I've got all the resources I need. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And the Lord of hosts in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, you think Solomon's house is great because I came and I breathed into it. My presence and my glory was there. You think that was great? He says, you just wait till I complete the program and I come to this latter house. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand on the earth in the flesh of a man. And I'm going to breathe my presence into that man. And he'll say, I and my Father are one. Amen. And you can destroy this temple, but you'll never destroy that one. Amen. And this one will be so much greater than that one there. You think you saw the best. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You wait till I come and stand on the earth. And I stand there as a suffering Savior for the sins of mankind and free all people who come under the blood of Christ. You wait till that happens. There'll be nothing like that. And let me tell you, there is nothing like being freed by the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiven of your sins and walking in communion with Almighty God. That's the big thing that we should be aware of. That's the big thing we should keep our eyes upon. I could say this to you. You think God did great things in the early church in the book of Acts? You think it was great in the upper room? It was. You think it was great when Peter walked by the gate beautiful and healed that man? Yes, it was. You think it was great that Peter laid in the prison and the angel smote him on the side and all the doors swing open in the prison? You think that's great? Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. You think it's great that Paul can pick up a handful of sticks and the snake bite him and he walks on unharmed? You think that's great in the early church? Yes, it was. You ain't seen nothing yet. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till the bride of Christ comes into a place of formation and they come into a real revelation of who they are and they get their priorities right. Let me tell you, there'll be no limit to what God can do through the people of God. No limit to what God can do. But let me just say what Haggai says to the people. You need to consider your ways. Because you want to live in your sealed house, look after yourself and say, we don't need to look after the house of God. God might just send you a prophet to correct that. And if you reject that prophet, it's not going to be good. But if you believe that prophet, good things can happen. Right? What's your name? Ryder. I knew that. I just forget it. I forget everybody's name, so don't feel bad about that. Ryder, you've been coming here a while. That's good. Appreciate that. And I think it's great. And you're always welcome. Door's always open. Unless your motive is a girl. Because I need you to notice one little detail. We have cameras around this church. That's not the funny part. We have cameras. But there's a couple of places back there where the cameras don't reach. And if you're after the girls, the fathers know where those places are that the cameras don't reach. And all the fathers said, I'm only joshing with you. The very best thing you can do, the very best thing that any one of you can do, and I'm just picking on Ryder because you're sitting in the prime spot here this morning. The very best thing you can do is rather than come for the dinners, which are good, come for the girls, don't do that. To come for the music, which is great. If your priority is right, and I'm not just saying this to you, I'm pointing at you, but I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this to every person who's here. When we come, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the rest is added unto you. We got two young people who are going to be baptized today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told them, I said, that's not the devil who's inspiring you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit who's leading you and pushing you to do that and working in your heart and saying, now's the time and now it's right for me. And when they seek first the kingdom of God, they don't need to worry about getting a degree and getting a husband, getting a wife and all that. Hey, all of those things will be added unto them because your Heavenly Father knows whether you have need of them or not. And so your priority just has to be simple. It has to be straightforward. It has to be number one. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because God says, I'm looking at you trying to provide for yourself. You're making money and it's going into a bag like it's got a bunch of holes. You're wearing clothes and you're not warm. You got harvest and I blow it away. And what I'm doing is I'm removing your ability to provide for yourselves because your priorities are not right. I'm taking that away. And you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, and you fret about this, and you're anxious about that, and so on. Who are you to take that position when I'm the God who controls the heavens and the earth? I laid the foundation. I control it all. I run it all. It all exists for me. Who are you to sit there and say God can or cannot do that? Find your position. Establish the right priority. And get up on the mountain and cut down a tree and drag it down here and watch what God does with that effort. Do the thing that God's called you to do. Do the thing that God's called you to do. And watch what God does. He'll take that effort and he'll bless that. And he says, hey, you think the former thing was great? You watch what God will produce in the latter day. You watch what God will produce here in the outcome of this thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible what God will do. Here's Brother Branham in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he says, now, sinner friend of mine, I know something great for you. My lost brother, my wayward sister. You ain't supposed to be in that condition you're in. God made you to serve him. You're not supposed to be in that sinful condition. You're not supposed to be in that bound condition. You're not supposed to be someone who's struggling all the time. God made you to serve him. And when you, he's actually beginning an altar call here at the end of the service. And he says, when you surrender your life to him and you give yourself to him, he says, God can take away that bondage. God can take away that fear. God can take away the worry. And God will unleash resources to you that you don't have any idea at all how great they are. Just like Moses never knew how capable God was at destroying Pharaoh and his army, Moses just needed to stand there first and say, Speak and go forward and raise that rod himself in faith and believe that, hey, listen, our job is to go forward. God's going to take care of the rest. And as soon as he said that, God sprung into action and opened up the Red Sea, and over they went. That was not Moses that did that. It was God that did that. But he did it only after Moses held up his rod and spoke to the children of Israel. Brother Bram says the only thing, don't try to line scripture up to your thought, but line yourself up with the scripture. Don't try to line the scripture up to your thought. Well, I think this is okay, and I think that's okay, and something else. He says, rather, take the scripture, line yourself up with it, look in the mirror, see whether I'm lined up with it, and if you're not, we need to adjust that and adjust that and adjust that to keep our priorities straight. Am I making any sense this morning? Oh, I'll tell you what, he says you want him to be your savior, but he wants to be your Lord, and Lord is rulership. He wants to be your ruler, not just your savior only. He wants to be your ruler. Somebody say amen. Amen. You want him as a savior, but what about your Lord that'll control you, your emotions and your thinking, and control every fiber of you that you could say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Let him in that way to be a ruler and Lord over you. Let him in that way. Let him in that way in your heart to be a ruler and a Lord over you. And watch what he does. When you give him that kind of place in your life, when you give him that kind of priority,